Dave Rodman. He joins us now.
Great call.
Mike Pena, Billy White, live from Uncle Matteo's Pizza Joint right here in Lexington. Dave, welcome to the show, my friend.
Yeah, hey, Mike. Hi, Billy. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Great call of that race, by the way. Fantastic.
Yeah, thanks. You know, he's going to catch me one day because he's the kind of horse that, you know, he's a fan favorite. I mean, he's one of my favorites, really, in all my 26 years here. And you know, you got to keep an eye on him. You know, you got to tell the fans what he's doing. And one of these days, he's not going to get there. And, you know, you want to root for him, but you have to make kind of an impartial call. But what a horse. I mean, that, like you said, in that race to Jim McKay, fifth overall, he's 32 for 55 lifetime, 26 stakes wins. But, you know, beyond that, I mean, he's won the Mr. Diz Stakes and other stakes here in Maryland, six straight years. And at Penn National, I think he won the Fabulous Strike several straight years, I think 3 years in a row. So he's a horse who's got a huge following, first here in the Mid-Atlantic, but now nationally, I believe, because of his Hall of Fame trainer, King Leatherberry, you know, his tenacity, the whole story of the horse where, you know, he probably could hardly have even made it to the races, the pelvis issue, broke a pelvis, and he didn't start his career till late stages, and that's probably what has added to his longevity, his popularity here in the region nationally too.
Let me just throw some numbers out there to the HRN Nation when we talk about Ben's Cat. We talk about how prolific he has been in that one particular race, but here's a horse that at the age of 10 has started 55 times. He's won 32 of those 55 starts. His earnings more than $2.5 million. And Dave, I've said this for a while now. He's kind of done that the hard way. He's not running in grade one races with a purse of $1.5 million. He's running in lesser purse races, meaning he's done this kind of all on his own and done it the hard way.
And seemingly improving from the age 9 to 10. His comeback race this year as a 10-year-old earned a higher buyer speed figure than his comeback race at the age of 9. So, you know,
wow.
Horses like King Leatherberry said, Hall of Fame trainer King Leatherberry said, horses come and horses go and people forget about them, but here's a horse that people can follow, you know, and relate to. That gives them, you know, a reason to come to the track. I mean, I don't remember a horse in Maryland that has ever attracted such a following, a fan base, you know, applause, folks taking pictures of him more than this horse, except for maybe Extra Heat, you know, the Hall of Famer Extra Heat back for the great sprinter, you know, won the Barbara Fritchie in the Fog.
Yeah.
And she won about as many stakes, Extra Heat. This was, the 26 stakes win for Ben's Cat. And Equibase stats from our press release, only five horses in the past 40 years and won 25 or more stakes. So listen to this. John Henry, Who Doctor Who, and Hall of Famer Extra Heat. So trailing only those horses in number of stakes wins.
Tell me about the owners, the connections, the owners. I'm not familiar with them.
It is King Leatherberry's.
Okay,
horse.
Trained animal.
The Jim Stable, yeah.
I got you.
The Jim Stable, yeah.
I got you.
Yep.
Right.
He's unbelievable. Is Ben's Cat a Hall of Famer, Dave?
I hope so. I'd vote for him.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, when you really look at those numbers, you know, and five horses in the past 40 years to win 25 or more stakes. I mean, John Henry's in the Hall of Fame, Extra Heat, Who Doctor Who, quite a popular horse in the Midwest back years ago. Remember him? Terry Wallace, I believe, used to give him the famous call, Who Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Remember? I don't know if you remember him or not. But, I think so. I mean, I think King said he would like to maybe race him one more year if he's up to it. You know, he's going to do what's best for the horse. Personally, I'd like to see him when he retires, maybe get turned out at Laurel Park in the first turn paddock there, you know, let people look at him, kind of have a home. I don't know, maybe a little bit too close to the racing action for him. Might want to jump in there in the final, in that opening first turn, rather. that mile in the 16th race. Every time you see a race go off there, you might think he's running again. I guess that wouldn't be a good idea. But, yeah, certainly he's a fan favorite. And when he retires, there's going to be a huge crowd. But at this point, doesn't look like he's going to retire. And Hall of Famer King Leatherbury is not going to retire either much.
No, not at all.
With this horse keeping him going.
Dave Rodman, the voice of racing in the state of Maryland, and it was his voice that you heard last weekend calling the Preakness Stakes. Of course, Larry Colmus had the call on national radio, and Dave Rodman had the call on the Pimlico feed. And Dave, let me tell you, that race, it went the way a lot of people thought it was going to, because Exaggerator figured to move up in the mud. But I'm curious to get your thoughts on what you saw as you were calling the race.
Well, you know, you don't want to handicap the race too much beforehand, you know, and have a scenario plotted out in your mind. But this was pretty much one of the scenarios that I thought kind of would happen. It was either going to be Nyquist going to the front and not looking back, Nyquist dueling for the lead, and here comes Exaggerator, or maybe trying to take Nyquist back off the duel but with a sloppy track. What would happen then if he kind of got mud kicked in his face in the splashback of the first turn, especially breaking near the inside and, you know, all that water down to the inside and kickback. So one of the three scenarios actually developed. So it was interesting to see that in that opening furlong to, you know, see runners take on Nyquist from both sides. And that opening quarter really kind of told the story. 22.38, the official time there. That was the fastest opening quarter in the history of the Preakness. I think four others were just a fifth of a second behind for the fastest opening quarter. And, you know, was it his undoing? I don't know. I mean, Doug O'Neill said it was his instructions, obviously, to go. So taking any blame off of Mario Gutierrez, you got to remember, he was beaten only in nose, the last jump for second, and of course since then has come down with a little bit of an ailment. He'll be okay. So, you know, was Preakness Day the day that it finally took effect? How much effect did it have on him? It was a brave, a valiant race, but a really great ride there from Kent on Exaggerator, who was down inside and what seemingly was maybe the worst part of the track, according to some, though Kent said he kind of warmed up Exaggerator all over the track, and he knew exactly where he was going to be at the point in the race. He seemed to stall a little bit, and looking at the replay again, I didn't really notice that Exaggerator, once he made that move into the turn, and then he got outside and made his sweeping move on a track that he really loved. So I think a great result, obviously, with the rain for Exaggerator. They got what they wanted, a sloppy track, but he finally turns the tables on Nyquist. Big race for Cherry Wine to close from far, far back. And I thought a pretty good race for the Japanese horse, Lonnie, who galloped out once again very strongly in that right after the wire, that last 16th of a mile was a pretty strong run there from Lonnie.
Yeah, Lonnie running a big, big race for him. And, you know, a lot of people thought he was a sneaky play in there and kind of a long-shot play because of the fact that he ran an okay race in the Kentucky Derby as well. And he just continues to run good races. Not great races, but good races. And, you know, a horse that maybe the mile and a half of the Belmont might be absolutely perfect for him.
Was he actually behind by 27 lengths at one point? I mean, he might need a new jock. he gets in trouble all the time. I know their connections are from Japan, but my goodness.
That's just his style. You know, he was brought out ahead of the post parade, ahead of the others. You know, he can be a bit tough to handle, and they affix the saddle at the starting gate. Bubba, one of our ballots here, one of the longtime ballots in charge of that. And, you know, so, but I can tell you this, the horse had fun and so did his connections because at the VIP party a couple of nights before Preakness was a country theme, the Kenny Chesney concert. And all of them were wearing cowboy hats, all the Japanese crew. They came dressed to It came dressed for Kenny Chesney, I can tell you that.
You know,
they really did have a good time here. I mean, people say all owners, trainers, and connections have a great time in Baltimore, but they took advantage of all the great things that leading up to the Preakness, and the horse ran well for them.
Yeah, one other side note regarding Lonnie, Dave, is you mentioned the fact that he was brought out early, much earlier than the other horses. He had to stay at the top of the stretches where they saddled him, which is very unique. They kept him away from all the other horses. Yutaka Take, his jockey, made his way down to meet Lonnie and was standing there for a good 15 minutes with an umbrella over his head. Somebody was holding the umbrella so that he wouldn't get drenched as he was waiting to get onto the horse. He gets a leg up. He was aboard Lonnie, circling down there at the top of the stretch for a good 10 or 15 minutes before the other riders even got a leg up on the traditional turf course area. So he had to carry that weight an extra 15 minutes or so, which is somewhat unheard of as well, and that couldn't have helped.
Well, I mean, I guess that's the way that he's trained, and he's very used to it. I've heard arguments about that as well, that maybe that didn't help him. But, you know, he's a horse with some talent, you know, and one day he's really going to show his full potential there. Interesting run from him. But Exaggerator, kudos to the DeSormo brothers and their win in the Preakness and turning the tables on Nyquist. He's still here in Baltimore, still back there at Stakes Barns. A little quieter this week than it was last week here. He'll be shipping out to New York.
Dave Rodman joining us on the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests, he's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Dave, really do appreciate the time, my friend, and great to see you last weekend, and we'll look forward to catching up again soon.
Okay, as long as the gift is not a rain poncho, we don't need that anymore after the last couple of years of Preakness. All right,
the infield can't take any more rain.
Yeah, I mean, Friday was such a spectacular, brilliant day with Ben's Cat, and then, Saturday, quite a different scene here. So hopefully next year we'll have a clear and fast Preakness.
All right, Dave Rodman, we appreciate it, my friend. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, Mike. See you, Bill.